It's all because of the Lord, isn't it? Yes, He's been good to us. New year. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. This new year coming up. We in it right now. Do you want to do something to please the Lord this year? Do you want to do something to please the Lord this year? I was watching television the other day. Some people's real religious over in India, and it showed they would beat themselves with whips till they bled. They would get on the ground. They'd roll for several miles. They would stick pins in themselves. They'd do all kind of things thinking they were pleasing their gods. And we have people even in the religious circle here in this country. They try to do a lot of things to please God. Would you really like to please God this coming year? Well, it's real simple to please God. But when you please God, you have to believe Him. That's what means pleasing God. Believe what He says, and that will please Him. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're not pleasing God because you have not believed in His only begotten Son. You have not believed what He done on Calvary's cross, died for your sins, paid the price that you could not pay. And you have not accepted that. You have not pleased God. You cannot please God if you're lost here this day. If you want to please God, you need to believe God. He died on a cross for your sins. He paid that price that only that He could pay. So just remember, if you want to please God this coming year, you have to believe Him. And that old song goes, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." And He blessed me this past year. He's blessed me in my life. And I know a lot of you can say what I'm saying right now. If I had never had another blessing, the Lord would be blessed this life that He has allowed me to live here on this earth for just a little while. But we know we enter into a new year. Always there's the fear of the unknown. There's always the fear of this coming year. We can look back at this past year, and we know what happened. We can remember, and we don't have the fear of the back, but we have the fear of the future, of what may happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We're just afraid of the unknown. The unknown, this new year. We don't know what it's going to bring this new year. But I have found four statements and two verses of scriptures that I'm going to try to keep close to my heart all year. Because if you'll understand these four little notes that I have here on the outline in these two verses of scriptures, contentment of His provision. If you could remember to be content of what God has given you, and compassionship, a companionship of His presence. Remember, He's with you all the time. Confidence in His promise, what He promised He'd do for you, and then you will have comfort in His protection. If you keep them, because you're going to probably need those four things this year. We don't know what this year holds, but we know who holds this year, and that's Jesus Christ. Today, is this our first Sunday? Maybe think of an old steamy ship was going across the ocean, an old steamship. It was old. It was leaking. And the pastors got scared because it was going through a great storm. So they asked the captain, "Captain, are we safe?" He said, "Well, this old steam boiler is getting old and very, very weak." He says, "The ship is taking on water." He says, "You know, it might explode and we may go up." Or he says, "It's leaking, we may go down." But he says, "We're going on." This year, Jesus Christ may come, and we may go up. You may face death this year, and you may go down and then up. But we're going on. I want you to remember, we're going on. We can face this new year without a doubt, through Jesus Christ, we're going on. In the early history of making maps, especially the ocean-going ships, that only make the maps, and outside that map, as far as they would go, they would make that maps, and then the other side, or where they have never traveled before, they'd write dragons, the unknown. They'd never been that way before, the unknown. Little did they know beyond the unknown, they was not dragons, but they was very, very beautiful islands and beaches. fertile land and rivers of gold and very beautiful things. But to them, just like a lot of us this hour, this coming year, we're going to be afraid of the unknown. There's dragons out there. But with these four statements and these two verses of scriptures that you may be able to hold dear to you this year, no matter what comes your way, you can understand that Jesus Christ is with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's read these today. Let your conversation, that is your behavior, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for the blessings of the past. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the past 2,000 years ago, what you was willing to do on Calvary's cross. That, Father, we may have a blessed year last year. All those, Father, that knows you as Lord and Savior have accepted you. Father, we want to thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of your people this coming year. Father, we want to praise you and honor you because it's through you, Lord, that we might be able to face the unknown. Because nothing catches you by surprise. Lord, there's nothing that's unknown to you. And Father, we know that you have the power in heaven and the power on earth to meet any needs that comes to our life. So how I pray that each person here today get a grips and a handle on these four statements, God, that you put on my heart and mind, Father, that I need and will need, and Father, the people will need this upcoming year as we step into the unknown. Each day of our life, we face an unknown. Each week, each month, and each year is facing an unknown. We do not know the future, but we know that you are the future. And we thank you for this blessing of here this day, for this church, especially for this Sunday, God, that we might meet in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you in all these many blessings. We want to ask in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This coming year, I know that some of you are like me. I have some fear. I should not have fear, but we have some fear because there's some things of unknown. I know I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to understand I've never saw a year at this country that we're living in change so much for the worst as it have this past year. I have a fear and a worry about what's going to keep going if the liberals in this world keeps going in the direction that we're going in our country. I have a fear of what's going to happen. Who knows what this year is going to bring forth? The fear. It may be some of us here this day, you're going to face some sickness that you have never faced before. You know, you may have to have some medicine that you cannot get because of this health care that our administration is pushing on us. The jobs might be less than they've ever been before. I'm going to tell you, our bodies might be weak and they need to have this health that they may not be able to get. We don't know about Social Security. We don't know about the retirement. We don't know what is going to happen to our Social Security. God is shaking people this day. He's shaking and he's looking in all different directions. The people today are looking for something they might be able to hold on to. People in this country have tried everything that they may have some type of a foundation, but all the foundation they're trying by man is failing today. Oh, if we could just get old enough to draw our Social Security, if I could just get old enough to retire, if I could just get old enough to do this. But you find out when you get that age, there's some more fears that comes along. Oh, a lot of you young people think, well, the older you get, you see, maybe this war won't be so bad. But the older you get, more intense this war gets as you a Christian here today. Oh, we just don't know what's going to happen. We're looking for the future, but we don't know what the future holds. People now are going to be looking in the future. I can tell you one thing. They're going to be looking for a foundation whose builder and maker is God. They've tried about everything in this country they can try. I believe what we're having is going to be a revival in the lives of God's people. I believe you're going to be able to tell who's saved, who's not saved, because there's going to be a great judgment upon our country. I tell you to believe right now that our country is already under God's judgment is this very day right now. We have forced God's hand because of how we've lived our life and how we put God away. I believe we're under judgment today. So it may be scary, but understand that God is in control of everything. These verses of scripture that I just read, these two verses of scriptures, they'll be very, very important to you. You need to pull these out because you're going to need them this year. It says conversation means our behavior. There's a wonderful thought that if we apply these to our new life that we have this year and this new year to face, that we can face with our shoulders squared back, our shoulder high, a smile upon our face, knowing that the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. We know this is an encouraging verse of Scripture today if we depend on these four things in these verses of Scripture. Being content of His provision. God has provided you with everything that you need. They're not a needy person in this church. Well, a lot of people here have some wants, but God has met your needs. God has met my needs. There's some things I think I need and things you might think you need, but God has met our needs. Verse 5, let your behavior, let your conversation, it says, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with which things as you have. That's a hard thing for us to do because I think one of the biggest problems we have in our country and the biggest problem we have on our life today is greed. We have greed that's destroyed our country today. It's destroying the lives of people today. It's greed, a problem that we have in individuals' life. It's a problem we have in family life. It's a problem we have in our country. And this word greed is destroying because we're not content with what gives us. We're always wanting more. If you get a new car, you want a bigger car. If you get a bigger car, you want two cars. If you get a one house, you want a bigger house. If you get a bigger house, then you want a swimming pool. If you get a swimming pool, and I'm going to tell you what, and then you want three cars. It's always more, 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 more. We're never satisfied with these material things. Be content. This is a demand of God for God's children to understand, to be content. We have a problem in the lives today that we're not content. So we fear some things today, and we fear what happens tomorrow. Be content. Man, you know what? If we're content, it will make a poor man rich. It will make a poor person rich if you're content with what God has given you. No matter how much you have, if you discontent, you will never be rich if you discontent. You'll always be poor because you'll always be wanting more. I know that a lot of you has come up in a time that I've come up when there weren't a whole lot of necessities that we have today. We had our needs, and that's about all. There wasn't a lot of necessities. Be content with what you have today. That is something that God is trying to tell God's people. Don't keep wanting more and more because it's not more and more the material thing. It's ever going to satisfy you today. So look at what God says in His precious Word. Be content of His provisions that He has given you today. He has given you enough, and He gives you everything that you need today, and be content in those provision days. There's something that we think we need sometimes that we really don't need. We think we need this, but we really don't need it. We just want it. And sometimes we want some things we really don't need. We have it backwards a lot of times. We have it mixed up. There was two little tears, and they met themselves on the river of life. Two little tears. One little tear asked the other one, "Where did you come from, little tear?" And one little tear says, "Well, I come from the face of this young girl that found a man, and then he left her." And then the other little tear said, "Well, where did you come, little tear?" She says, "I come from the face of that woman that found that man and then married him." You see, the tears comes. We don't really know what we want. We think we want a lot of things, and we think we need a lot of things. But if we can learn just this first statement, if we didn't even go to the other three statements here this morning, to be content with what God has given you. Oh, it's all right to want things. There's nothing wrong with wanting things, but be content. Luxuries today and necessity today. Be careful about them today. Be content with what things you have. 1 Timothy 6, it says in verse 6, "But godliness with great contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out." Did y'all hear that? You didn't bring anything into this world, and it's very certain of all the things that you're trying to get, you will not carry anything with you, as old Job says. And having food and remnant, let us be therewith content. As that song, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I have a roof above my head, clothes on my back, food on my table, shoes on my feet. And thank you, Lord, for a fine family." Can y'all actually say that today? What else do you need? What else in this life do you need whenever God meets all the needs that you have? Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor that loveth abundantly with the increase. This is also vanity," and he says, "it's going to pass away, and it's going to pass away so quick." trying to get everything of this life. All we want so much of this life today. To learn to be content is a very hard, hard lesson for individuals. Because we all want more, more and more. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. Just be careful how we get it. Like the little boy that loved pancakes so good. But his mother one day says, I'm going to fill him up one time and one time for all. I'm going to fill my son up with pancakes. She began to make him pancakes, and the boy started eating. And she made more, and he ate, and she made more, and he kept on, and made more, and he kept on, and more, and he kept on. And she says, son, would you like to have another can pancake? He says, no, ma'am, I didn't even want the ones I ate. You know, that's the way it is. Sometimes you want something, and God lets you have it, and then you wish you could get rid of it. Oh, how I want this so bad. But once you get it, Lord, I wish I could get rid of it. We want things that we don't need. And once we get them, it's hard to get rid of. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Nothing wrong with material things, but it will not satisfy your heart. Psalmist says in 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If we just do what God tells us to do, you'll find all that you need in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:33 is a favorite verse of Scripture of mine. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what we do? We try to make deals with God. God, after I do this, God, after I raise my kids, God, after I build my house, God, after I get my education, God, after I get me a good job, God, after I do this, and then after I do that, and then after I do this, then I'll serve you, God, and I'll worship you. God don't make deals like that. God don't make deals like that. You see, everything that you think you're seeking for, your education, listen to me, young people, education is fine. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to seek God first. And then a good job is fine. That's good. But you need to seek God first. All nice home and everything I said, material things are good, but you need to seek God first. And all these things that you try, God says, I'll add them to you. I'll give them to you. But first, he said, seek me first. Don't make deals. Living a life without fear. Why? Why are we going to live a life? I know that some of you, like me, I have a fear maybe of what might happen. Do you have a fear maybe that Social Security won't be around much longer? Do you have a fear maybe it might cut it half in two? Then what would happen? There's all type of fear of what's going to happen this next year. We're living in a fear, but how can we live without this fear? Well, we're going to face fear how? Well, think all about this today, because we think we need some things we really don't need. Well, it's about fear today. We think we need something that may be taken away from us. I fear that. We fear maybe that we need some things and our needs may not be met. It may not be met on this medical. It may not be met with our Social Security. It may not be met with a lot of things. So there's fear because we're afraid our needs will not be met. And not only that, we also have fear because we're afraid of some of the things that meets our needs now may be taken away from us. And I have that. Do you have that fear? They may be taken away from us, and that's the fear that we have today. Maybe it'd be our retirement. Maybe it'd be your health. Maybe it'd be your medical treatment. They say, you know, it's going to be rationalized, and no doubt about that. You're not going to get the medical attention in the coming years, and so we have a fear of that. Something I need, I might not be able to get that I think I need. What's going to happen? Well, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Back in the recession's days, the Great Depression, they might call it in the 20s and 30s, you know, people, there were a lot of people committed suicide. They jumped out windows. Why? Because their security was in their dollar bill. God's telling them where our security ought to be in the contentment of his provisions this day. Philippians 4:11 and also 13, it says, not that I speak in respect of wants. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. He was in jail, in prison. That is a hard statement for each and every one of us, to be content in whatsoever that God has given us, to be content with it. That's hard. That's hard. He says, I do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can do it through Christ. That's a hard statement. It's going to be a hard for this coming year. I really do. Some of us are going to have some heartaches this coming year. We're going to have some difficulties, I can assure you, this year. There's going to be some fear upon our lives this year. But be content of His provision, whatever He has provided us with. He will help us live through this next year. Or either it may be death. We just don't know. The contentment of His provisions. How can we do this without fear? Let your behavior and your lifestyle be without covetousness. Don't worry about covering these things. And then our companionship with His presence. Have this companionship with His presence. Verse 5. Be content with what things that you have, for He have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That says He's going to be with us, is it not? Now that ought to encourage us, that verse of Scripture in this new year we face. He says, I will not abandon you. I know that some people knows that sometimes the husband may abandon the wife. Sometimes the wife may abandon the husband. Sometimes the mother and father may abandon the children. We just don't know. But God says, Jesus Christ says, I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you this day. Now we may face, as I said, we may face heartaches. You know, we may face some sickness that you've never had before. You may face a funeral, a death in your family, or it may be even death to myself. But whatever it is, God says, I'll never leave you. Psalm 116:8 says, For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. God done for you that last year. Every one of us. God spared us. Every one of us can claim that verse of Scriptures. Companionship of His presence was with us all the time. We can make that and say that He loves us so very much. The new year, I will never leave thee. David Livingston, that great missionary from Africa in the 1800s, surrounded by natives in a fearful pace. He didn't know which way to turn or what to do, but he remembered what God said. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Also in Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus said, came and said and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. In the middle of the jungle, no matter what we face next year, He says, all power. Whatever you face, Jesus Christ said, I have all power. No matter what comes our way, Jesus Christ, I have all power. Companionship in His presence should take away fear. Being content of His provision, what He give you, should take away fear. But not only that, confidence in His promise should take away fear also. Verse 5, it says, He have said, be content with such things as you have, for He have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. That is a promise. That will relieve our fear because Jesus Christ, the one that cannot lie, says, I promise you, I will never leave thee. I'll never leave thee. And you say, well, I don't have strength to face this sickness. He says, I will never leave thee. I don't have strength to face this problem that's coming up next year. He says, I will never leave thee. I don't have the strength to face this Social Security issue, this medical issue, the problem issue, my child issue, whatever the issue it might be. Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll give you the strength next year. If you have the strength, it will come from Jesus Christ. I will never leave you, never leave you, never leave you. That is a promise. That'll take the fear away from you because you got Jesus Christ living in you and His promise to you. He says, I will never leave you. What a friend we have in Jesus. That great song we sing. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. But the next thing we have, the comfort of His protection. If you have these first three, then you'll have the comfort of His protection. He promised that He will protect you. When you have His contentment, when you have His companionship, when you have confidence of what He said in His promise, and then you'll have that comfort. Verse 6 it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you say that? I hope every one of us be able to say that when we walk out of this building. His comfort. Because we're going to face a new year. I hope we face this new year without fear. I've already thought a lot of things about fear. I watch the television. I watch Fox News a lot. And I see what direction this country in. And sometimes it gives me fear because I'm looking at it through man's point of view and not Jesus Christ's point of view. But I look through Jesus Christ's point of view, and I don't worry about it. And I claim these four promises that God has given me this day in these two verses of Scripture that I sat and I dealt and I read many, many times here this past weekend. I want you to get a handle on these things. You're going to need them. You're going to need these. He says, I'll never leave thee, never leave thee. I'll always be with you. Alexander McLaren was a great preacher from Scotland. And I read a story about him, not a story, but the truth. Whenever he was a young boy, he was 16 years old. 16 years old, lived on a little farm about 10 miles from town. He needed a job. So on his way to get that job was walk to town. He walked to town, he got him a job, but it was too many miles to walk back to every evening, so he stayed in town. But his mother and father says, now, Alex, we want you to come home every Friday. We want you to come home every Friday night. We miss you, and we want you to come home. Well, Alexander knew that going home there was a great valley and a great ravine that he had to go through, and it was also noted for people being robbed and mugged, but like the man going down to Jericho, very dangerous place for a young boy to go through. Well, he got off from work that night. He told his daddy, he said, well, I'll go the next morning. And his dad says, no, I want you to come home that night. So he knew he had to face that dark valley as he walked through. He had to go through that dark valley, and he was scared as a young 16-year-old boy. Scared as he was, he began to set out because he wanted to do what his daddy told him to do. And just as he going down that dark ravine, you know, as a young boy, he can hear and think about all kind of things that was coming his way. And his heart was right up at his throat. His heart began to bounce in his heart, and his chest, and he was scared, as most of the time young boys and young girls scared of things like that, and even ungrowner people. But he began to go into that ravine, dark as it might be, overshadowed because he couldn't hardly see, just could barely see where the road was at. Just as he thought, he saw something move ahead of him. It was a man. He could tell the figure of a man, and he would come towards him. His heart began to beat even more. As this man approached him, he could see the silhouette of this man. As he got close to him, he recognized who it was. It was his daddy. His daddy said, son, we got word about you. We come and meet you, and I walk home with you. He said, I wasn't scared any longer. I don't know about you, but I can remember back whenever I was a boy. And we used to go across the little branch, the little farm, and sometimes we'd have to walk back home by ourselves. And I go by that little branch, and there's always some footprints walking along with me over there in the bushes, shaking, scared to death. Always some sound going through those branches. I had to go home. I know that somebody was following me. I could hear them walking in them bushes. Or either a big old wampus cat was after me. I didn't know which one it was. Scared to death. I'd make it through several times. Then sometime my dad would be with me, and we'd go to the other farm, we'd walk back. You know, when my dad was walking with me, I wasn't scared. You ever spent a night in old homes that you used to have, you know, with no latches on the doors? You ever spent a night by yourself when there's a young man, young girls? Man, there's always something out in the woods trying to shake that door, scared to death. But whenever Daddy was at home, I could sleep a lot better because Daddy was with me. I'm going to tell you, I was never afraid when my Daddy was with me. Jesus Christ says, you might be able to call me Daddy, Abba Father. Because this year, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Daddy said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. What brings on next year, we do not know. But I do know the promises, and I'm confident, no matter what I have to go through and you have to go through, my Daddy will be with me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As we come with a song of invitation, I hope you put these on your heart. I hope you understand how very, very needful they are for us this coming year as we face the unknown. But with Jesus Christ, everything is known.